With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to Interfaith Sunday Services on Greater Good Ministries Radio. Every week, we broadcast Sunday services at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Central Time, for all our global listeners. Our metaphysical ministers bring interfaith messages of enlightenment and upliftment, specifically available to all those who are open to hear the Word of God, the Creator. We welcome you with an open heart and warmest blessings.
Greetings, and welcome to Greater Good Ministries Sunday Interfaith Services. This is Reverend B. Delosier with today's program, The Empowerment Hour. Our program is in three segments today. First, we'll have a guided visualization and healing service, which is entitled Non-Expression of Negativity. Our topic of discussion today is laughter really is the best medicine. And our affirmative treatment is embracing the light. So I'm very glad to be able to present this program to you today and hope that you enjoy it. So what do you say we begin by lighting our peace candle? We are using Young Living Angelica essential oil today to establish our sacred space. Oops, there we go. Okay, got our candle lit. Angelica essential oil is just a lovely, lovely scent. Very powerful, very healing, very cleansing, and very clearing. We're also using Larimar Stone. We use the stone today for the elimination of fear and negativity. And now for our opening metaphysical prayer treatment. Divine Creator, who lives within the midst of my beingness, I speak to your presence within me. Through you, I have life, breath, and being. You are the life of my life. All that I will ever have or accomplish is the result of your presence within me. I am an individualized expression of your divine love. The power and wisdom that enabled you to create universal life successfully lives within me every moment of every day through your presence. I affirm this as the ultimate source of success in my life, this moment, and always. For your presence vibrating through me, I give thanks. And so it is. We also have a very special prayer request today from one of our listeners, Tom. He asks that we join him in holding his family in the highest light so that they may find suitable housing, and to do so soon, as they are now living in a motel. So I ask all of our listeners to please hold Tom and his family in the highest light so that suitable housing may be found soon. Our healing meditation today is from the Meditation Society of America, and it is entitled Non-Expression of Negativity. You know, one of the hardest assignments to take on in life is to try to not say anything negative for, say, a period of 2 hours or on one day of a week, or if you're brave, for a whole day. And if you're really, really brave, for even a whole week. You'll find this exercise to be a tremendous learning experience, one that will open your eyes, your ears, your mind, and your heart to your now. Those who have given this exercise a try report big surprise at how often the urge to comment negatively happens, as is the feeling of embarrassment at your own behavior as well as frustration at being unable to stop it. It's like a runaway train. Some common themes seem to occur, such as verbalizing negative every time you talk to a teenage son or a daughter, or the impulse to mutter behind someone's back, maybe a coworker or your boss, and the compulsive retort to a criticizing parent or in-law. So please try this wonderful educational meditation. You will witness yourself acting in ways that will amaze you. Just by seeing your habitual reactivity, you will be on the road to changing for the better. You know, you've spent huge amounts of time and squandered enormous amounts of energy in negativity. As you learn from observation and objective analysis, it is very rare to have improved any situation by injecting negativity into it. It is much more commonly a stimulus for making things worse. By doing this exercise together, you will be ready to appreciate the wisdom of the concept that before every negative action, there are negative words. And before the negative words, there are negative thoughts. You can interrupt this process by witnessing every action, every word, and every thought. Be gentle with yourself when you witness yourself being negative. Don't be negative about your negativity. Just observe the behavior and say, "Oh well," and go back to witnessing. Saying "oh well" doesn't mean that you're giving it the freedom to act out in your life. What it says is, "I forgive myself." So think, "oh well," when you get a negative thought or action going on, and go back to watching and witnessing your own words, your thoughts, and your deeds. So let's get comfortable. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Now, hold it for a moment and slowly exhale. Again, deep breath. Fill your lungs and your tummy. Then hold for a moment and slowly exhale. One more. Breathe in deeply. Fill your lungs to capacity and hold it briefly. Then exhale slowly. Ah, nice cleansing breaths. Sit calmly and quietly, as relaxed yet aware as you can be. Visualize your mind's eye, your brow chakra, that spot above your eyebrows near the center of your forehead. Imagine that your mind's eye has two distinct sides. Now visualize yourself with the left side of your mind's eye, as you would appear in a moment of impatience. This may be a little difficult, I understand, but really, see this inner vision, watch your face, observe your body language, and think, what does my impatient self look like? Now, on the right side of your mind's eye, see yourself when you are very patient. See the muscles in your face relax and think, what do you look like when you have a lifetime of time? As tense as you appeared on the left side as your impatient self, see yourself now as relaxed in your patience on the right side. Now on the left side, again, see yourself as you appear when you're depressed, bummed out. Look carefully. How does that make you feel? Can you be aware of the aura of doom and gloom you're radiating? Then, on the right side of your mind's eye, see yourself as you are when you're joyous. Merge with that happiness and know how others would see you. Continue seeing all the seemingly negative feelings and behaviors on the inner left-hand side of your mind's eye, and then see the opposite on the right. On the left, see yourself as jealous, the green-eyed monster rearing its head. Now, focus on the right. It's how you appear when you are truly glad for someone else's success and happiness. Back to the left, see the bigoted you, while on the right, gaze at the all-embracing, accepting, loving you. We switch back over to the left once more, and now we see the mean, grumpy face that you sometimes wear. Look back over to the right and see the sweet, gentle, joyful you. Focus left and see the stupid you, the dopey you. And switch again. Focus on the right and see the brilliant, clear, and wonderful you. Gaze over at the left one more time. See the clumsy and the graceful. On the left, see the unsatisfied. But yet on the right, we look and we see grace and satisfaction from contentment. We could go on, and you may. And become familiar with the you on the left and its opposite on the right. Don't allow fear to enter your space. Just be silent and be a non-judgmental observer. Now, see the total you. The total you. Who would be there on the left if none of the characteristics of the right side were present? Now see the you who would be totally you on the right side, only if none of the behaviors and feelings of the left side you ever appeared. So what you're doing is you're seeing this balance between the dark, dim you and the bright and cheery you. You're playing this balance back and forth between yourself. On one side, it's despair. On the right side, it's joy. So what you'll do is you see the total you with both sides. And choose which is the real you. The Dalai Lama tells us that just by seeing our negative sides, we will become so aware that we automatically cease any of those left side actions and start doing and feeling the right side actions. After a little practice, you will become the right side, you exclusively. Eventually, you have peace, compassion, wisdom, good health, patience, and all the other glorious aspects of life, because you are consciously choosing the right you. Allow yourself to continue to make right choices and give yourself permission to choose what is right for you. You can continue to make these choices while you enjoy a Greater Good Ministries creative music break. And when you're ready, open your eyes and know that you've made the right choice. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Rich Price. I am the light. I am the sound. You can check out more of Rich Price's music at SoundClick.com. facebook.com/richprice. Hope you'll check them out. Alrighty, let's continue on to our Sunday sermon. And today's Sunday sermon is Laughter Really Is the Best Medicine. Okay, I'm ready for a good giggle. Hope you are too. How many times have you heard someone say to you, hey, lighten up? Well, I hope not too often, but sometimes we need to be reminded not to feel so gloomy or serious about life. Hey, you know what they say, you can't get out of it alive anyway, right? It could be that the adage, laughter is the best medicine, is true. Look back in time at Lord Byron. Always laugh when you can. It's cheap medicine. We as a race, we're funny. Life can be a comedy of errors, but it also allows us to make mistakes for the purpose of learning from the experience. Stephen Wright has this to say. Experience is something you don't get until just after you need it. How true is that? When we see things from the lighter viewpoint, yes indeed, we can be hilarious. Take, for instance, let's just say a love triangle. Sad in itself that one party engaged in a committed relationship and allows another party from outside the relationship to become involved in the couple's personal situations. Instead of ending the committed relationship, they would rather complicate the issue by staying where they are, yet seeing the other person on the side, thereby muddying the situation into a riot of emotions, feelings, and sometimes lives. When you rise above the physical activities of the trio, one gets a different viewpoint that equates to nothing more than comedic. If we are not happy, we can just as easily stand in our own power and declare an end to the relationship before moving on to the next one. The humor is bittersweet, but evident, nevertheless. Henny Youngman chides, I've been in love with the same woman for 49 years. If my wife ever finds out, she'll kill me. Yeah, Henny Youngman was that kind of guy, that kind of humor. You know, gossip is another frailty of the human race that smacks of hilarity. Pumping that rumor mill into high gear, targeted at an individual, can ruin a person's life. Yet, it continues to be, or seems to be, one of our most favored pastimes. If we see something with our own eyes or hear it with our own ears, we still have to be careful of putting our own spin on it, which will get passed along, kind of like the game of telephone. Each person who hears it puts their own feelings behind it before passing it on. By the time it goes full circle through the gossip mill, the entire matter has taken a life of its own, which in no way is related to the original occurrence. Sadly enough, this happens every minute of every day, and someone is getting hurt from the activity. So why do we do it? Perhaps because it brings us momentary excitement, and we think, hey, I'm not so bad off. It takes on the misery loves company mystique, and from the big picture, it is something to laugh about. I love Bill Cosby, and I love what he says. You can turn painful situations around through laughter. If you can find humor in anything, even poverty, you can survive it. Wonderful thoughts, Bill Cosby. Because survival is the key here. Laughing at ourselves and our frailties helps to lighten our load, and it does so quite a bit. There is no better laugh than one we have at our own expense. Finding humor in the nature of humanness should simply be as natural as breathing, and for some of us, it's a full-time job. Looking at some of today's modern humorists, we begin to see a pattern developing. That which doesn't kill you really won't hurt you. Rodney Dangerfield made a hit with his famous line, "Take my wife, please." You know that his wife had to have an excellent sense of humor to watch herself and her husband, her beloved, poke fun at her for hours on end before audiences worldwide. Now that was some kind of lady, hey? George Carlin, I miss him, and I'm sure a lot of you do. He had an innate knack for proving that being human has its silly moments. Why do croutons come in airtight packages? It's just stale bread to begin with. Brilliant observation, George Carlin. Shakespeare, beloved by many, claimed that the whole world is a stage and that we are all actors on that stage. But George Carlin provocatively counters, if all the world is a stage, where is the audience sitting? Interesting question, George, and thought-provoking as well. You've often heard that in order to be happy, we need to live in the present, in the now, as espoused by motivational and inspirational speakers everywhere. Well, Carlin has the antidote to this one as well. There's no present, there's only the middle. Future and a recent past. Oh my goodness. Touché to George. We seem to spend an awful lot of time watching television and movies. You know, it's big business. They say that life imitates art. And when you get right down to it, we can see where Hollywood and its counterparts have provided enough fodder for the mill in this regard. Take the classic movie, one of my favorites, The Gods Must Be Crazy. Here, a hapless traveler inadvertently tosses an empty Coke bottle out of a plane, and it hits an African bushman on the head, who thinks it's a gift from the gods because, indeed, it came from the sky. He brings it home to his family, whereupon it becomes a serious item of contention, modern man's impact upon the peaceful serenity of a bushman tribe. Although this gift is found to be useful to the bushman, it also causes fights, jealousy, hurt, and pain. They use it for grinding seed into flour, rolling out dough, pounding clothes clean, even taking a swipe at each other with it. Life just seemed so simple before this gift was given to them. So the bushman decides to give it back to the gods. Well, he takes it out to the bush and he tries to throw it back up into the sky, where it simply falls back to earth and bonks him on the head. In frustration, he tosses it. And one of his children find it, and the complications again begin. This time, the bushman decides he will embark upon a journey to give back this gift. He will walk until the end of the earth to give it back. From there, the story gets really crazy. It involves a brilliant yet guileless British anthropologist, of course, a lovely fair maiden school teacher, and a wealthy yet mean foil to counteract the sweetness and gentility of the Brit. A bunch of terrorist marauders, of course. What would a movie be without them? And these participants are all interwoven into the fabric of the tale, of whom the bushman encounters on his own personal journey to give back the gift to the gods. Everything you ever wanted to know about life is in this movie. But which is it? Is it art imitating life, or does life imitate art? You know what your problem is. It's that you haven't seen enough movies. All of life's riddles are answered in the movies, says Steve Martin. Never would have thought that, Steve. Thank you. And so with that, we'll have a few more interesting quotes that hammer home the message. Laugh often, dream big, reach for the stars. Not sure who said that, the author is unknown, but I do love it. An old English proverb that says, he who laughs best, laughs last. with this Irish proverb, a good laugh and a long sleep are the best cures in the doctor's book. And since we're into proverbs, here's an old Yiddish proverb. What soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul. And we'll sum it up from the ingenious Mark Twain. The human race has only one really effective weapon, and that is laughter. Thank you, Mark Twain. We'll be back after this short break with our talk about prayer right after this. You're listening to Sunday Interfaith Services with Reverend Barbara Delosier on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to today's program. Alrighty, let's have a brief chat about prayer. It seems to me that I went through a time in my life when I thought prayer was outdated, that I could heal myself and move more quickly in my journey simply through the power of positive thought. I believed that I had it all under control, me and my positive thinking. And those of you who know me know that I am a positive thinker. But what I didn't realize was that without prayer, without that sacred time between me and Source, I was only working at half capacity. Because that private time, whether it be in meditation or in prayer, is as much a significant and essential tool in our spiritual toolbox as meditation, contemplation, using natural tools such as crystals, stones, flower essences, essential oils, and prayer or rosary beads or incense. When you come down to it, prayer is more based on a mystical reality than it appears. In metaphysical science, prayer is different from petition. Prayer is viewed more as affirmative. And we'll be getting into our affirmative treatment shortly, and this is more like a prelude to get into it. When we pray, we stand in complete and total expectation that our prayer is answered in the affirmative. With petition, there is still an uncertainty. When Jesus prayed to God, he did so with complete faith and expectation that his prayers were heard and answered, and so should we. Christ did not anticipate a no answer to his prayers, and neither should you. Christ taught, greater things than these you shall do. And so, here we are, more than 2,000 years later, in a new progressive world, doing marvelous things in our modern ways, still anticipating a no answer to our prayers? Nah. Absolutely not. Prayer is our way to become a co-creator with God, with Source. Yes, I said a co-creator. When we open our minds and hearts in prayer, attune ourselves to Spirit so that God can work through us, prayer becomes an affirmative treatment. Prayer made in the spirit of acknowledgement that God knows what we need, what we desire, and wishes to give us what we want, that all God wants for us is to truly be happy. Our prayer becomes a treatment of our own consciousness. It makes no sense to pray one moment and then cast doubt the next. When it comes down to it, every thought we have is a prayer. When we see every thought we have as a prayer to God, to Source, then shouldn't our thoughts be filled with love, joy, and acceptance? Prayer is opening our mind and hearts to God, allowing our ego to stand aside so so that God's love can enter and fill us with great joy. We cannot pray if our hearts are filled with negativity, doubt, and fear. What we do then is fuel the dark source, and this is just not beneficial to us as beings and for our world as a whole in consciousness. Would you think that such a simple thing as prayer could be so dynamic and scientific? Well, it is. When we pray to receive ourselves of a problem or to relieve ourselves, the very act of praying itself lifts us above the consciousness of the problem. We raise the psychic energy and frequency levels above the people and conditions of the problem, which in effect gives us immediate spiritual relief. We remove the pressure of the problem by turning it over to our higher self, thereby allowing the natural healing energies of the Creator to filter through and truly answer our prayer. Meditation, contemplation, these are the most purest forms of prayer, in my personal opinion, because we open our hearts and minds to the natural inflow and outflow of energy. Therefore, permitting not only a blessed union with universal consciousness, but also to actually have a conversation with God source energy, with the source. Prayer can be done anytime and any place as the need arises. And you can make your prayer more effective by quieting yourself, removing all distractions before you place yourself in a sacred space for prayer. Direct your attention inward and look to find Source, which resides at the center of your mind or beingness. Be affirmative when speaking your prayer. Phrase it in a way that says, "I know you hear me. I have no doubt that you are answering my prayer." Pray as if your prayer is answered in the now already. By doing so, you are acknowledging the power of God working through you and opening the channels for spiritual direction from Source. And before you end each prayer, thank God for answering by saying, "And for this I give thanks." Then end your prayer by saying Amen. This seals your prayer into spiritual reality, which then becomes physical reality. And I think that's really important. Whether you say amen or whether you say, "and so it is," what you're doing is you're sealing that prayer, that thought, and giving it the freedom to manifest in your spiritual reality. To ensure that you are praying for the, quote, right, unquote, thing, something that is good and right for you, ask for intuitional guidance as to how to direct your prayers and trust that you will receive what you need. Lastly, pray often and every day. Keep that channel between you and Source wide open. Praying is a spiritual exercise, and your spiritual muscles get stronger and stronger with every use. I like it. So let's go on for today's affirmative treatment, our positive affirmation. We're dealing with illumination or light for today's treatment and how we can connect with it, live in it, and use it to move ourselves forward into our own new reality, an exciting new reality. As our energy changes, so does our reality. So let's focus on illumination and allow its energy to fuel our forward momentum. As you repeat the following affirmation, and I will use the echo technique, where I will say a phrase and hesitate so that you can repeat the phrase silently to yourself. As you do so, visualize being surrounded by a brilliant white light with a golden hued aura, the protection of Source. I am one with the light of the universal creator source. I am one with the light of the universal creator source. I illuminate myself with its protective being. I illuminate myself with its protective being. Light lives within me, feeding me, healing me, guiding me, and I share it with all those I touch. My illumination is pure. I am one with the light of the universal creator source. I illuminate myself with its protective being. Light lives within me, feeding me, healing me, guiding me, and I share light with all those I touch. My illumination is pure. We'd like to repeat our affirmations in sets of threes. So we'll say it one more time. And if you like, you can silently speak it along with me. I am one with the light of the universal creator source. I illuminate myself with its protective being. Light lives within me, feeding me, healing me, guiding me. And I share it with all I touch. My illumination is pure. You may use this affirmation or affirmative treatment during a period of light meditation with the visualization that we suggest, which will give clarity in a situation that you might now find yourself involved. I like to remind people to say your affirmations, to make it a treatment, say it in sets of threes. Keep in mind that it is really important to bless any situation that you are in, first by accepting it, embracing it, enclosing it in your illumination, and then releasing it. That also seals the process, and that makes your affirmation a treatment, an affirmative or a prayer treatment, if you will. Very important to bless the situation that you are in. Bless all the parties involved, even if they anger you or frustrate you. It's okay. It's okay to feel anger. It's okay to feel frustration. But it's not okay to dwell in it. That's where we get tripped up, more or less. So, bless the situation by accepting it, by embracing it. I mean, really get in there and feel it. Yeah, it's a situation that hurts you. So feel it for the moment. And then turn around and enclose it, totally envelop it in your own illumination. That gives you the power to release it and let it go. Remember, life is good. Life is good and as good as you allow it to be. Those thoughts that you get, those circumstances that you find yourself in, they're not caused by other people. You can't blame everyone else for the way you view things. Yes, they may have done something to upset you, tick you off. They may have performed an act that was hurtful to you. But it's the way that you view it and the way you perceive it is how it impacts you. And you might argue and say, well, so-and-so hasn't paid child support and my children are suffering. No, they're not. They have you. Remember, it's your view, your perception of how others' actions impact you. Don't allow it. And you won't allow it if you shine your beautiful light and embrace the difficulty in your light before you release it. You are in charge, my friends. We are in charge. We call the shots. Life doesn't do things to us, although I like to say life will throw us a curveball. All we got to do is either duck or throw it back. Lately, I haven't been too good at ducking, but that's okay. If you can catch it and throw it back, you're in the game. I'd like to let everyone know that we have some changes here going on at Greater Good Ministries Radio, and I'd like to share these changes with you. We've got some new programs coming on for our Sunday service. The Empowerment Hour will still broadcast twice a month, as we've been doing, but what we've done is we've invited some wonderful friends to share an hour with you on Sunday for our Sunday interfaith services. Those who know me know that I ascribe to a metaphysical point of view. Well, there are those who may ascribe to a different point of view, and we'd like to bring that out to you to share. Truly, we are an interfaith service every Sunday, and we'll be doing that. Next Sunday, we have our first, I don't believe it's next Sunday. I've got to look. It starts on the 13th, I believe. Actually, it looks like on the 12th. That's the second Sunday, so it might be starting on the 5th. Oh, I'll have to check. What I'll do is I'll refer you to our ggmradio.com website. The listing will be on that website. So you'll have the schedule. But our new programs, the first one is called Conversations Beyond the Edge, Living in Light and Transformation. That will be hosted by Gregory Scott, and that will be on the... Let's see if we can get to that, too, on which Sunday of the month Gregory will be on. I believe it's the first Sunday of the month. And we are also adding the Evangelist Hour. That will be on the 5th Sundays of the month. And that will be hosted by Reverend Patricia Bennerman. We have some new programs that are becoming on board also, starting in September. We'll have the Universal Healer Hour with Gregory Scott. That will be every Thursday. The times will change. It will be 11 a.m. in the morning one week and 9 p.m. in the morning the following week. So we will switch off between daytime and nighttime programming with that program, with that show, so that all of our listeners get the opportunity to share time with Gregory Scott live on the air as well as in archives. We have another program coming up. It'll be Claudia Cleary. Claudia will be coming on board on Wednesdays, and she'll be sharing Namaste Nutrition. How cool is that? I'm really looking forward to that as well, with Claudia and Namaste Nutrition. It'll be a wonderful program, health program, about healing ourselves spiritually and physically, with what we put into our bodies. Two ways: what we put into our heart, what we put into our body. So a very nice mind-body-spirit connection with Claudia on Wednesdays. I hope you'll join us for that as well. And again, I direct you to our website, which is www.ggmradio.com. That stands for Greater Good Ministries Radio. So it's ggmradio.com. And I hope that you will all join us for that. I'd like to end today's program with a treatment for overcoming. Overcoming meaning jumping the hurdles, hopping the stones, the stepping stones, and getting past the obstacles that we find ourselves sometimes trapped behind. Overcoming is the false belief that there is anything less than your own self, one with God within you. And that's the bottom line, is that we can do anything and get over anything when we tap into the God source energy inside of us. When we have a belief or a sensing, a feeling that while God, the Creator, is within us, we have to realize that there can be no such thing as falsehood or fear if we don't have it in us. When we realize that we instill the negative or any negative energies that we have within, this doesn't come from God's source energy. This we make here in the physical. We create it and stir it up. And by doing that, we block out the God source energy. We block out that light. So the first thing we look at is that you can't have fear if it's not there, if it's not in you. So we work to release that and remove it. Some of the things that we want to remove is the false belief that we lack that little oomph, that something extra that would give us self-confidence to overcome any obstacles in our path. We have that something extra. We all, as a whole and individually, have that something extra inside of us. There is no lack in our hearts unless we allow it. So again, we're in control. That something extra we either tap into or we don't. We choose, is what I'm trying to say. Tap in to the wisdom that there is no such thing as not deserving what you want. This is a wisdom pearl. There is no such thing as not deserving what we want. Each and every one of us are deserving of all that we want. And it's interesting because sometimes what soul wants and what we want might be a little different. Soul may want the experience, but our small self, the ego, may say, I don't deserve that. The idea here is to trust that pearl of wisdom and know that the universe is within you. You are not a part of it. You are it. And because of that bonded connection, you can tap into the pearls of wisdom from the universe. It's up to you. The choice always comes down to us. Are we choosing what's good for the good of the whole, for the good of our own selves, for the good of our loved ones, or are we choosing to suffer? Is soul asking for that experience? To learn the learn how to suffer? I, for one, have learned that lesson, or I'm, let's put it this way, I'm still working on learning that lesson. I guess that's the best way to put it. We probably are all still learning that lesson. But I choose the higher self. I choose the higher experience. I invite the highest level guides in to my universe and ask to work with them. My suggestion, of course, is that you do likewise. Be self-confident. Be one with God's source energy. Tap into your God self and your pearls of wisdom that are splayed before you in the numerous experiences that you have every day. Perhaps what you can do, and look at it easily this way, is instead of feeling a lack of confidence, begin feeling a fullness of God self-confidence, creator self-confidence. Replace the lack with the fullness and the joy of what the creator really wants for you, and that is to be happy. And with that, I end today's service, and I certainly hope that you will join us again next week. Gregory Scott will be with us next week with Conversations Beyond the Edge, Living in Light and Transformation. And that will be at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio on our Sunday Interfaith Service. And with that, warmest blessings to each and every one of you. Go peacefully, go confidently, and go in light. Warmest blessings. See you next week.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.